You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarlane. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. Hey, welcome back to the HR Happy Hour Show. My name is Steve Bowes. I am joined by, of course, Trish McFarlane. Trish, how are you today?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I'm all right with these, you know, I know people love to hear me complaining at the top part of the show, and I have a long legacy of complaints. My air conditioner's not working. It's the dead of summer. It's getting hot in here. So that's how I'm at today. Not quite $100. I'm like $97.25 right now.
I would say that's maybe $50 if your air is not working. I mean, this is the middle of summer.
It mercifully in Western New York is not too hot yet today. It's probably about 75 degrees, but
Okay. Well, I feel bad for you. I usually don't. I mean, I'm sure the listeners don't either.
No,
but today
they don't care.
We'll feel a little bit of sympathy for you. So that's wow. Okay. Well.
But it is the morning, so it hasn't heated up in here too much yet. But I did have the windows open. If we catch a little outside noise, some road noise, that's what that's all about. But so great. Enough about me, Trish. How are you?
I'm fantastic, actually. It's a good day. It's way above 75 degrees, I'm sure, already. And a hot day, lots of kids' activities going on, bowling, football, you name it, and trying to work in between all of that. So, yeah.
Another busy day. Another big summer day. Before we get into our topic, and we have a great topic today, Trish, we have a hardcore HR topic today. We're going to talk about workplace investigations. Probably never been a better time to talk about that topic with every day we see something in the news, some huge high-profile situation in workplaces, and we'll get into some of that with our guest, Dana Barbato, who we're going to welcome here in a minute. Of course, I want to thank our show sponsor, Virgin Pulse, sponsoring the show since 1982. Learn more about them at www.virginpulse.com.
I thought it was 1979.
It's been a long
time. It's a long story.
And they've been with us forever, and you know, thank you to them as well. Do want to encourage folks to check out what we're doing on the HR Happy Hour show on Alexa. We're still pumping those out, 3 or 4 a week maybe, something like that. If you are an Echo person, Prime Day was just as we record this. Amazon Prime Day was, I think, yesterday. A lot of folks in the audience picked up a new Echo device and are getting into kind of setting that up and playing with it for the first time.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And all you need to do on your Echo device is search on your Amazon Alexa app for the HR Happy Hour skill to add the HR Happy Hour show on Alexa to your daily flash briefing. Just check it out. You'll love it. 2 to 4
Can
minutes,
I tell
five
you,
minutes. It's
we're
so
very
much fun.
Big among teenagers. I cannot even tell you how many teenagers around here who have heard about the Alexa show who are listening to it in the morning, and they'll like message me, you know, like private message me on Instagram in the morning,
nice.
Like, hey, great episode yesterday.
Yeah, no, that's
I'm
cool.
I'm onto something. I don't know. The 2 to 3 minute episode is kind of a cool concept. So
I will warn the users. I'm still needing a little editing help on that because the ones I do tend to be slightly longer. But
I know. But you know what? My point being that these are our future. You know, workers of America. And so we might need to start doing some shows that are a little more geared towards, you know, students going into college or in college going into the work world. So
that's a great point. Let's do that.
Anyway,
let's absolutely do that. And last thing, www.hrtechconference.com. Still working hard on that. It's coming up really fast, less than 2 months. I know there's a big early bird kind of discount expiring on August 9th. You can check that out at, on the website, or you can use my code Steve300 for $300 off your registration. And Trish, before we get into the show, I don't know if you had any announcements you wanted to make real quick, but I do have a question for you that I do want to ask before we get
no announcements, but go for the question.
What is your position on the flavored Oreo cookie? I'm talking about like the theme flavors.
Yeah.
I had a heated argument the other day. I'm enjoying currently the strawberry shortcake Oreo.
I
love it.
It's just not an Oreo. I feel like they should just call it something else. Right? It could have a different name. I don't know. I will tell you, I tried one over the weekend. It was fine. It was good. It just shouldn't be an Oreo. went on a girls float trip with all of the high school moms. And it was just like the plain, whatever, like vanilla or, you know,
vanilla's
whatever.
The good. I like the vanilla. I like them all. I like the mint.
No. I'm sorry. We're on different sides of the fence then.
All right.
I'm traditionalist when it comes to my Oreos.
I'm going
to
mark you
Why
down.
Why don't we bring our guest on and we'll ask her. All She'll right. be our deciding
That's
vote.
The first question?
No pressure.
All right. Let me welcome our guest. I'm sure she's loving this conversation. But I'll mark you down on team traditional Oreo, Trish. Our guest today is Dana Barbato. Dana has spent over 25 years working to tame the chaos in the human side of HR. With a strong belief in respectful employee relations, strong leadership, and consistent practices, she has proven in her HR roles that accountability is the answer to our engagement and retention problems. These beliefs caused Dana to step out of her HR career and create InvestiPro, the first fully automated workplace investigation platform that ensures a respectful, compliant, and consistent process every time. Now, as the CEO of InvestiPro, living in beautiful Bend, Oregon, which I've heard is the cultural capital of the Northwest, Dana is on a mission to revolutionize the way employee relations and investigations are handled across all industries. Dana, we first met you at the HR Tech Conference a couple of years ago when you brought InvestiPro as one of the awesome new technologies, awesome new startups in HR. Great to meet you. Great to see you again, I mean, and thanks for joining us, Dana. And first of all, where do you stand on flavored Oreos?
Oh, I'm traditional all the way.
Come on.
I got to say, I'm weighing in with Trish on this one, that the flavored Oreos just aren't Oreos. You know, an Oreo is just like a staple from your childhood. And I don't know. I like the traditional Oreos.
I may be off the show. And you guys, neither of you knew that question was coming beforehand. I did. Really?
No, I did not.
Yeah, no, it's one of the, and it's kind of funny that you bring that up, because that's actually something that I've spent time thinking about. It's like, why do they keep trying to reinvent something that's so great? But that's okay. You can have your strawberry shortcake ones. As a matter of fact, I will never eat one, so I'll leave lots of them on the shelf for you, Steve.
Yeah, I'm working on them. I mean, I'm two cookies into my pack. So, all right, enough. I know I'm defeated.
So sweet.
So, Dana, workplace investigations. Never yes. probably been more important. We have a litany of high profile cases, right? Every day in the news, right? Uber, Intel, Papa John, right? Papa John himself, right? Of Papa John.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, let's just like do a quick kind of what is going on in the state kind of workplace investigations. And then I'd like to get into a little bit of conversation about why organizations are struggling or can struggle with actually executing effective investigations.
Perfect. Well, yeah, it's kind of interesting because, you know, the business that I'm in, we're talking to people about investigations all day long, every day. And people come up to me and they're like, wow, I bet it's just everybody's just, you know, on you guys. We need to be doing investigations. We need to be doing investigations. And the whole Me Too movement kind of had a little bit of an opposite effect to that, unfortunately. It created a real fear. For HR people and for business executives, that if they did in fact, you know, open the door, the floodgates were just going to go. And, you know, why would we want to do that? And so there's actually a little bit more of a heads down in the sand type of thing than we really expected. But that's changing. As it's moving from the whole dramatic of this just happening in Hollywood and this just happening to the Ubers and the Googles of the world, you know, instead of that, people are going, okay, maybe we can take a look at this and examine things and start rectifying our processes and taking care of business without it completely opening up the floodgates. And so I spend a lot of my time educating people on the positive side of doing your investigations and doing them right, and using them actually as a tool to really strengthen your cultural foundation and develop a real means for people to have not just this open door policy, but really truly open communications that can just change everything from, like I said, your culture all the way through engagement with your employees. So, I could talk about this all day long, but the, you know, investigations are just a really key item in your HR platform and your business. And so people need to start doing them. And hopefully today we'll be able to bring out a lot of those reasons why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know what, it's interesting. As you were talking, I was thinking back, I don't know why I remember this, but when I was deciding what I wanted to be when I was in college, actually, my first thought was I wanted to be like a DEA agent, which I never did. However, I know. Can you imagine? But let me tell you why. The aspect I liked about being in some sort of, you know, an agency like that was the investigative side of it. And so when I met my dad's human resource manager at the time, you know, we talked about it. Now, she was in a union environment, so there was a lot more in need of investigations, too. I mean, even back then, of documentation and that sort of thing. I found that fascinating. And so I think I wonder, you know, I don't know that it always comes up, but I wonder how many people who actually work in HR, you sort of enjoy having some mechanism to investigate things, not to trip people up, but to really, like you said, to help build that culture stronger so people feel like, you know, that bad things aren't going to happen to them in your workplace. So I don't know. That was just something from, you know, 30 years ago that was really appealing to me about human resources, the fact that investigation is a big part of the job.
Well, Trish, when you look at actually what an investigation is, you know, at its core, it's just a means of gathering information, reviewing the information, and drawing out of it a means to resolution. And we're doing that every day in HR. I mean, that's something that we're doing not just for the big harassment discrimination things, but for procedural problems, for safety issues, all that type of thing. We're gathering information, we're assessing it in a consistent manner, and we're coming up with a solution that makes work better for everyone. So by nature, HR people generally have this, you know, this intuitive nature to investigate things and to use it to make things better. Unfortunately, you know, when it comes to the heavier sexual harassment discrimination ones and stuff, it's created a real fear amongst people because of the high liability nature. But, you know, what I have been able to do over my career, and those of you who don't know me, I am an HR person at the core. I was an HR person for 26 years, out in the trenches doing what you do. I'm not a tech person telling you how to fix your investigation problems. I'm an HR person that's passionate about empowering HR through really useful tools. And so I have seen what using a consistent process for all the things big and little and communicating it and having transparency in the process can do to improve your culture and to engage employees, because it really comes down to trust, and you cannot and will not ever have trust without accountability. So your investigation is your accountability key.
Can you mentioned consistency, and that just resonates with me. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because again, if I think back to, you know, having also been a practitioner for a long time, we always seemed, no matter what company I was with, but I'm thinking about healthcare specifically, okay, when I was working in a hospital scenario, and there were a lot of investigations for many things, big and small, to try and either, you know, protect people or the company. Sometimes it went both ways. But one of the things that we struggled with as practitioners was lack of consistency. And I can remember, this wasn't all that long ago either, where it was like we were trying to come up with our own like Word document template that each of the HR pros would use so that we would somehow, you know, if a grievance arose, we would have at least documented somewhat consistently. But it was always like a struggle. Can you maybe talk about just the importance of consistency and whether people are afraid of that or whether they're craving it? Like, what are you seeing and hearing? Because you're dealing with this every day.
Well, I would tell you that consistency is the number one issue that we hear from people. And it's kind of funny. We do get a little bit of diversity in the responses, because initially when you talk to high level HR, you know, VP, CHROs, they're like, yeah, we have a consistent process. But as you drill down into the people that are actually doing the investigations, they're like, no.
Right. That's true, right?
Consistency just isn't there. And we make a point of letting them know, don't feel bad about that, because you're not the only one. It's everybody, because there hasn't been a good tool out there that makes the process consistent. So it's like you said, it's a paper process. It's emails. It's you know, a Word document that you're kind of typing some things into and that type of thing. But when it comes to defensibility, they don't see that as a consistent process, and that's where the disconnect is. But consistency is key, and that's the reason why technology needs to enter into this, because the technology piece takes you from being able to say, well, yeah, we do these consistently, to being able to prove we do this consistently. And so what it does is it enables you to show, look, we use core questions with every investigation. Then, of course, we dig down into the details based on the responses. But we can prove that we're unbiased because we're using the same core questions to start the investigation with all of these things. We use a consistent methodology. And gee, here it is. This methodology walks us through a systematic process of showing that we're able to come up with a consistent resolution and determination every time. It's just the difference between, I mean, the only thing out there before InvestorPro was a paper process. And so that's what everybody is and was doing. That's what I did my whole life too. And it just, it's very difficult to prove that a paper process is consistent. Now, when you add into that, especially like in healthcare that you're talking about, where there's multiple departments and multiple locations and many different entities, and you've generally got, you know, regional HR business partners and such, they're doing investigations, trying to prove that everyone is doing the same thing and trying to have everyone do the same thing is very, very difficult. And so it's been kind of interesting because we hear quite often people go, well, you know, we have a team of investigators. We have HR business partners, or we have HR generalists that are doing our investigations in different locations and such. And they really all kind of have their own way of doing things, and they don't like to mess with that. And that's all well and good until you look at the liability of the company that comes from everybody doing it a little bit differently. And so there really needs to be a way to tighten this up. And the way that we saw at InvestorPro of doing that is creating technology that ensures that it's being done consistently every time. And I think you'll see more and more of this out there. I mean, we have so many HR processes where things have been inconsistent, where technology just said, hey, we're going to simplify this for you, we're going to standardize it. But in the meantime, what that's going to do is that's going to make it very, very consistent. And it's a protection for the company that needs to be considered.
Right.
Danny, let me do a quick reset. This is the HR Happy Hour Show. My name's Steve Bowes, Trish McFarland, of course, with us, and our guest, Dana Barbato from InvestorPro. We're talking about workplace investigations, which, as I said at the top, has been in the news pretty much every week in a major way across the HR space. Dana, one of the things that just happened, and I profess to not knowing all the details of this one, but the head of HR at Uber, who's had a lot of other problems as well, but was kind of recently just forced out, largely because the claims are they kind of ignored a bunch of complaints around racial discrimination at the company. So not to have you comment specifically on what's going on at Uber, because, you know, that's not really fair, but just can maybe share with us a couple of reasons why, as you work with companies, like why would or why do companies sometimes just fail to take up investigations in the first place when they really should? What are some of the, just the common reasons you hear, and what can organizations do to get past those barriers?
Well, that is a big, deep problem. But what we see is, and again, this is where having a consistent process comes into place. So it's one thing to have the executives of the company come forward and stand up and say, we know that there's been a problem. We're going to fix it. We're going to throw a lot of manpower and a lot of time and hours and things at this whole problem, and we're going to fix it, right? But it's a whole different thing to get that communication down to every level of worker and to have them see the process work and to have them believe that the process will happen. And the only way to do that is to actually take action. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, I don't work at Uber. I haven't spoken to Leanne Hornsby, which is the person that left. But I do know that they did, you know, they opened the doors to bring all of these complaints in to gather all of this information. But there was a bit of a disconnect between, now that we have all this information, how do we make things right? And, you know, before you open those doors, you have to make sure that everybody has bought into the fact that we're going to do whatever we need to do, no matter how painful, to make these things right. And without that key of saying, yes, we'll get the information, we'll find out if it's systemic, we will remove people if need be, or we'll change systems, but you have to be willing to do the work to fix it once you have that information. And I think that, you know, going out publicly and saying, hey, we're going to do all these things, we're going to fix this, we're going to fix this, we're going to fix this, without the tools in place to actually fix it, is where companies like Uber do end up in trouble. Because what they've done is, instead of strengthening their company culture by employees believing, yes, we do have a voice, yes, we are being heard, yes, you know, we can trust in our executives and things to take the right actions and stuff, they're saying, oh, great, now we just have a little more of nothing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does, Dana. I mean, this topic is big and broad and complex, but also really, really important. I mean, you know, we could probably talk all day about this, but just to, if we could kind of, if there was one thing you'd love to just have the HR folks who are listening to the show take away from this, or what to think about as they kind of wrestle with what seems to be an increasingly difficult and increasing, and maybe even increased volume, right? As more and more people feel empowered to come to HR with issues and workplace problems, what's that one thing you'd kind of give them and say, here, this is the thing I want you to think about as you're trying to, you know, just get better at doing this and get better at handling these kind of investigation processes in their organizations?
I would say that the number one thing is, don't be afraid of the process. You don't have to be perfect. Your process doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be getting better. But not talking about it is the worst thing that you can do. I mean, that's how we got in this trouble, right? Is people just weren't talking about it. And so talk about it, you know, work amongst yourselves, as, you know, with your HR peers. What are you doing? What's working? What's not working? You know, the old days of having the CEO come by and, you know, tap on the door of the HR office and go, hey, you know, I've heard about a lot of these sexual harassment claims and stuff. We're good, right? And they go, oh, yeah, we got it covered. Okay, great. And having that be the end of it, that's got to stop. I mean, let's not be afraid to go, I know it's happening at all these big companies and stuff, but what's happening right here, right, in our company? What are we not hearing? What are the employees not telling us? And don't be afraid to get that information and be open with them and say, we're trying to fix this. We may not be perfect, but this is our intent. Help us to be able to make this better.
Dana, that's a great message. I think that's a great way to summarize it too. And, you know, probably a great message for HR folks listening to this and how to communicate what they're really intending to do and help supporting the culture of their organization. So, Dana, thanks so much for joining us today on the HR Happy Hour show.
Absolutely. I really do. I'm passionate about this. This is the company that I've built is just here to be able to make things better for people out in the HR world. And so if you'd like to check us out at goinvestorpro.com, you can learn a little bit more about the product and how it can be helpful. And I am always available to Dana@goinvestorpro.com. You can email me, you can connect with me on LinkedIn or Twitter or whatever. Let's start a conversation. Let's get people talking about this, and let's find a way that we can make it better for all of our workers out there, and therefore make it better for our companies as well.
Yeah, and we'll get those links. Thank you for that, Dana. We'll get those links in the show notes as well, and make sure everybody has a chance to check out what you guys are doing. So again, thanks again, Dana. Great conversation around.
Wonderful. Really appreciate your time, Steve and Trish. Steve, go have some Oreos for me.
There you go. Strawberry shortcake Oreos for lunch. I don't care. You're both wrong about that.
Oh, goodness. Hey. I think, too, before we close, Steve, I just wanted to say, also on the InvestorPro website that Dana mentioned, there's a really good blog that you all have going, and lots of good articles that, you know, HR leaders, HR generalists, managers can go out there and read and really, you know, kind of see what all the information is, the latest and greatest around investigations and the necessity of them. So
absolutely.
Thanks, Trish. Yeah, it's the HR Investigators blog, and they can put in their email and get it delivered right to their email box. We won't inundate them. We only do about once a week or so. But yeah, it's a great little tool to have.
Yeah, good resource. I'm always, you know, looking for resources for practitioners. So that's a good one to have.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, right. You two. I really appreciate your time today.
Great. Thank you again, Dana, Trish. Thank you. And thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show. Thanks, of course, to our sponsor, Virgin Pulse, www.virginpulse.com. And remember to subscribe to the HR Happy Hour Show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trish, for you, for me, for Strawberry Shortcake Oreos, that is it from the HR Happy Hour Show today. We will see you next time. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.